What's up, what's up, what's up? How's everybody doing? Everybody good? Yeah, I hope so. I hope you're doing good. Everybody, I got prune fingers. I'm sick of rain. I'm tired of rain. I'm hoping that it's going. Is the sun shining outside? Okay, y'all, this is going to be a hard crowd. It's going to be tough. If it's not, we're going to pray that God will bring the sun out. I'm tired of bringing canoes to church. Hey, listen, I'm hoping and praying that God speaks to you today, that He moves on you. Hey, before we dive in, can we just give it up for everybody that's watching online right now? Love it. Thank you for watching. Hoping God speaks to you. Hey, if you're sitting there watching this, hey, won't you let us know where you're watching from? We got people watching from Coleman, Jasper, Arab, and we got a lot of people that watch from Lakeland, Florida. Don't know what's going on down there, but we got a lot of people down there, people from Houston, people from Germany. I saw all kinds of places, Illinois last week. So, hey, so glad you're watching. Hopefully, and praying that God speaks to you today. Listen all the way through, because I think God's got something for you. Listen, we started a new series last week called What to Do When, and last week was a little bit of a tear jerker. My wife told me basically, hey, Andy, you need a hanky because I'm tired of you wiping your nose and wiping it on your pants. So I cried a little bit. I don't think this week will be that much of a tearjerker at all, but I am hoping and praying that it will be a message that honestly gives you a new perspective or maybe a different perspective on some things in your life. Maybe it will change your mindset or maybe help you think through some things that you've been taught before that I believe could be wrong. You may, in your head, argue with me all the way through the sermon. Just don't do it out loud. Just keep doing it in your head, okay? But I want you to go back and search the scriptures when I'm done if you're one of those that are arguing in your head with what I'm talking about. We'll get to that in just a second, what we're talking about. Before I dive in, little small commercial break, we've got Summer Jam. Everybody say Summer Jam. Summer Jam for three-year-olds through sixth grade. Coming June the 11th through the 13th. And parents, I would challenge you to put that on your calendar. It's going to be absolutely incredible. We started it last year. This year is going to be huge, massive, gigantic. We've got absolute incredible, great leaders. DeAndra with our preschool, our DC Kids Junior, and Adam Whitley with our DC Kids. They are phenomenal. They got a great team. They have been planning this for months. I sat down with them this week and we went through the whole entire week. That week, June 11th through the 13th. And I'm telling you, your kids don't want to miss, and you don't want your kids to miss. It's going to be a great, great, incredible time, okay? So go ahead, put that on your calendar. It's coming up soon. You can go to desperationchurch.tv/summerjam, and that will give you ways to sign up and go ahead and get registered, all right? You're going to love it. So back into the series, back into the message. What we want to talk about today is what to do when we want to understand or don't understand the plan of God for our lives. Or as people that's been in church their whole entire life say, understand the will of God for their life. So you'll hear me say plan of God. You'll hear me say will of God today. Both of them mean the same thing. I believe everybody in this room, some way, form, or fashion, would love to know what God's plan is for their life. And so I want to help you understand some things. I'm going to throw out some myths that I believe a lot of people have bought in as truth, that I would like to debunk just a little bit today. And I'm hoping to give you a fresh perspective to hopefully help, honestly, set some of you free from a lot of anguish, anxiety, frustration with God's will for your life, okay? And so prayerfully, God's going to move in your life today. So when we talk about the will of God for our lives, it's amazing how majority of the time we're talking about just big decisions that we have to make. Decisions like for singles, like who am I going to marry, or what college am I going to go to, or what career field should I go into, or some of you are looking for another job, or maybe you're in the process of just trying to make a gigantic, huge, big decision. Maybe you're a parent here today and you're trying to help your children make a big decision, but you want to do it God's way. All right. Today, I want to help you with that some way, form, or fashion. I believe that God wants to move in your life. And so this is what Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6 says. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Everybody say all. All. Oh, my goodness. One more time. Just say all. Let me know you're there. All. Oh, I love you. All. Like all. Way from call all. It's all good. Listen. That's what I say anyway, because I get made fun of because I got a redneck accent. It's all good. I'm with you. Listen, do not depend on your own understanding. Verse 6 says, seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. We're going to come back to that here in just a little bit. Matthew chapter 6, may your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now listen, when we read that, I got a whole another message on Matthew chapter 6, that verse right there. But basically, we want to have take place. What God wants in heaven, we want it to take place on this earth. And so we're going to talk about this here in just a little bit more. So just kind of hang on to those verses. So I believe that most people desire to know the will of God for their lives, whether they choose to obey it or not, they really want to know, okay? I even believe people that don't even go to church much, people that might not even know God, want to know what the plan is for their life, what's out there for them. Now, one thing that will really probably, this message will connect with the most, if you're here today and you are just hot after Jesus, man, I mean, he is everything, which I'm hoping and praying that's everybody, because there's really only one way to go after God, and that's with everything that you are, okay? But if you're here today and you're hot after Jesus, this message is probably going to speak to you more than anything else, all right? Because I really believe that it's something that all of us who are pursuing God, who desire God to be first in our life, who has a passion to live out Matthew 6:33, to seek first the kingdom of God. If that's your heart, that's your passion, hopefully and prayerfully, this is going to be something that really speaks to you today, okay? Now, what I believe is there's a lot of misconceptions about God's will. And these misconceptions produce a lot of bondage more than they do freedom. It's absolutely amazing how many people I see walking in bondage when it comes to the will of God, when it comes to the plan of God for their lives. Listen, God did not save you to walk in more bondage with him. He saved you to walk in freedom with him. And so if you're walking in bondage to what he desires for your life, then you've got to automatically understand immediately that that's not God. That's not who he is. That's not what he's about. That's not his character. He wants to set you free from bondage and allow you to walk in freedom. If you're walking in bondage, there's a great possibility that you're walking in religion more than you realize. All right? And so let me do this. I want to talk about some myths that probably all of us have heard some way, form, or fashion that you may even have to argue in your head about the will of God, because you've heard these things and some of you have accepted them as truth. Now, there are myths. Let me give you the first myth. I call it the dartboard myth. That basically, that there's a dartboard, and with God's will, we've got to hit the center of the dartboard. And if we don't hit the center, the little red bullseye, then we just miss completely what God has for us. And so when it comes to God's will, we are constantly walking in this burdensome thought process that, oh my goodness, what if I throw the dart and I hit the 20 or I hit the 15, which are big numbers, but I miss the bullseye? What happens? What happens? And all of a sudden, we start walking in bondage that I've got to hit the middle of this thing. I've got to marry the perfect spouse. I got to have the right job. I've got to go to the right school. And if I don't, the next myth comes into play. Here's what happens. So you took these next two myths and you can put them together, because a lot of people say, like, if you don't hit the red bullseye, then here's what happens, brother, in your big decisions. Is that God's will is this detailed thing that if you don't get it right, if you don't hit the bullseye, then God will never bless you. Now, I don't know about you, but that's what I kind of grew up with. I heard that majority of my life. How many of you have heard something along those lines? Throw your hands up before. You've been in church long. Don't be mad at me now. Don't be arguing with me in your head. I need you to listen to me all the way through, because I've heard that. I had somebody tell me, this is after I think I was in school, I was in seminary, and I had been, you know, studying the word, and honestly, God was in the process of trying to set me free from religion, a religious mindset. And I had somebody tell me, I had a big decision. I don't even remember what it was. I remember we was eating Sunday dinner, and I was just bringing it up about a big decision that I had to make in my life, and I couldn't remember. And I remember the guy sitting there told me, he says, "Now listen, you better get that right, because if you miss God's will in that, he'll never bless you again." I'm like, yay! I mean, like, I said, that's a lot of pressure. Like, I'm already stressed to the max about it. Like, that's a lot of pressure. But you know what I told them? That I basically just let them know, like, hey, if what you're saying is true, that if I miss the bullseye in this one big decision, if I miss it, then I'll be honest with you, God, then I've missed God every single day of my life, because I'll be honest with you, I have made wrong decisions every single day of my life. So God should never, ever, ever, ever bless me. It's always funny how it's the big decisions. We never really talk about, like, the wrong thought process. Maybe a little gossip here and there. You know, it's always funny how we always talk about, if you miss God in this big decision, then God will never bless you. Well, what kind of God is that? What's the point of the cross, by the way? Because the big picture is that I probably miss God some way, form, or fashion every single day. So God should never bless me. But because of the cross, Ephesians chapter 1 says that we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Not because we get back to works again, by the way, not because of what I've done or not done, but because of Jesus. Big deal. It's a big difference, big gigantic difference. And so if that's your thought process, then honestly, God should never bless us ever, because we all make wrong decisions some way, form, or fashion. You know, it's funny, it's always big decisions. Why don't we, you know, if we want to get detailed, why don't we make decisions about, God, what kind of ice cream you want me to eat today? I mean, like, where you want me to go with this? Like, I'm standing here in Publix, I'm looking right here, God, which one is it? Oh, it's the cookies and dough in Jesus' name. Thank you for blessing me today. That probably wasn't God, all right, because your cholesterol is already out the roof. Just enjoy your cookies and cream and die early, okay? Let's just go. Let's just love Jesus, all right? I'm just kidding. That didn't sound right. I'm not endorsing death. It's all good. Endorse cookies and dough. Listen, moving forward, another area that I believe that a lot of us miss God's will is there's places where we've been taught things like, if you're not in God's will in the area of big decisions, that you'll be taken out to the woodshed of God and he's going to punish you. He's going to take you out to the woodshed. I'll be honest with you, I got an issue with that, because I really believe that Jesus has already gone to the woodshed for us and took our punishment for us when we cannot do it in and of ourselves. And I don't know why, once again, it always just comes to big decisions like who we're going to marry or where we're going to college or what job we're going to have, that God's going to take us to the woodshed. I mean, that don't sound like the God that I read about in the New Testament whatsoever. You know, I think about, I've heard people say that if we don't make specific details, if we make a wrong decision, that it will ruin our lives forever. Now, listen, if you're here today and your heart, you're passionate about a decision that you've got to make, and you're really pursuing God and chasing after him and saying, God, I really need your direction in this decision. God, I need you to walk with me through this. I need you to get, God, I want to go down your path. And your heart is to move God's direction. I don't believe God's going to ruin your life forever. As a matter of fact, I don't think you can make a wrong decision if you're chasing after God in that area. As a matter of fact, I think if you're pursuing God and you start going down the wrong path, he's going to put a roadblock some way, form, or fashion. Some of you may disagree with that, but I'm telling you, if you're pursuing him and you really desire his will for your life, he's going to help you know that this is not the direction you need to go. And another thing that I've learned, that if this is true and it comes back to big decisions and stuff, you know, once again, I still believe that God in his grace and his mercy is so large that even when we make the wrong decision, that God can still use it for his glory some way, form, or fashion. We talked about that the last couple of weeks. Everybody in here has made the wrong decision some way, form, or fashion. That doesn't sound like abundant life to me. How about this? God hides his will from us like he plays games. Like, man, is God playing games with me? Like, man, what? Is he hiding from me? No, God wants you. He wants you to know his will more than you want to know his will. He's not playing games with you. God doesn't hide it from you. But there is a place where, honestly, he wants you to seek him. There's a lot of times where he doesn't give us the answer right off the bat, or maybe he doesn't give us the answer we're looking for, because what it does is it calls us to strengthen our faith, to trust him in the middle of pursuing him. You know, it's kind of funny. I was thinking about God hides his will from us. It's kind of like sometimes with our spouses. It's like with my kids and my wife. A lot of times I'll say like, hey, where y'all want to go eat? Like, no, I don't care. Wherever you want to go, I don't care. Well, all right, well, hey, let's go to Denny's. Denny's sounds good. Oh, no, I don't want no Denny's. I don't want Denny's tonight. Well, you just told me you don't care. All right, what about, let's go to Waffle House. No, I don't want no Waffle House. I had that last night. I don't want Waffle House. Well, you just told me you didn't care. Like, let's go get some crystals. No, Lord, no, I ain't gonna need no gut grenades today. What? Well, you just told me, like, you playing games with me. Like, what are y'all doing to me? Like, y'all just told me I don't care. So really, you care where we go. So why don't you just tell me where you want to go? All right, that's I'm going where you want to go. And then they'll say, like, we want to go to Zaxby's. They're like, no, I don't want to go there. Ain't no way. I ain't going there. Hey, y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all been there. Like, men know what you're talking. We know what you're talking. Listen, women too. Listen, God's not hiding himself from you. He's right there in the wide open. He just wants you to pursue him. We're coming back around to that. You know, it's amazing how many people think, well, he only wants to bless certain people or speak to certain people or reveal his will to certain people. That's not true. A lot of people are like, well, hey, God reveals his will to Andy because he's the pastor. Are you kidding me? Like, he was revealing himself to me before I was ever, when I worked for Coca-Cola in my green jeans, he was still revealing himself to me there. God's a personal God. Just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean that I'm higher than other people. He's the same God to you as he is to me. He wants to reveal himself to you just as much as he does to me, himself. Here's the big picture. Is the problem with these myths, although they sound great, and a lot of us have been taught or have misunderstood these myths to be truth, all these areas that I just got through reading, all of it, it produces fear, stress, anxiety, and confusion. That whole thought process of, man, if you don't hit the bullseye, or if you make a wrong decision, God's not going to bless you anymore. It's amazing. No wonder most of us are full of anxiety when we're seeking God's will and full of stress and full of fear. Which the one thing that I've learned is 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So if you're walking in fear today because you're going to make a wrong decision with God, I've got to tell you immediately that that's not biblical. That honestly, that's not who God's called you to be. He's not called you to walk in fear. That's bondage. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:33 that God is not the author of confusion, but the author of peace. So if you're walking in confusion and you're walking in fear and you're walking in stress and you're walking in anxiety of what you're supposed to do about a certain situation, there's a great possibility it's not God. When we're coming around, just hang on. We're getting somewhere. It's not God. It's amazing throughout my several years of ministry that because of these myths, I've literally heard about, I remember a guy telling me one time, and this is more than just him, I've heard this more than once. I had a guy who was hot for Jesus, wanting to go after him. Basically, he was single, didn't even have a girlfriend. But he was so freaked out on who he was supposed to marry and who he was supposed to date that cat told me that he had to take sleeping pills to go to sleep at night because he was so worried about the will of God. He had to take sleeping pills. Not because, you know, he couldn't sleep for any other reason. He was taking sleeping pills because of God's will. Listen, God's not created us to walk in bondage and fear and anxiety to that kind of stuff. So much so that you got to take sleeping pills at night. Because of his will for you. You know, I've heard of people wanting to constantly go around and find counsel, which by the way, if you're seeking God's will, you need to find counsel. You'll find out more about that in just a little bit in this sermon. But a lot of people are going around looking for counseling just to tell them, hey, it's okay, you're okay, you're okay. They're wanting counseling not because they're really seeking wisdom, they're just walking in a lot of fear. They're scared to death. Oh, man, I'm scared to death, man. If I make this wrong decision right here, then, man, God's going to smite me. He's going to take me out. What kind of God do you serve? Where is that here? So, you know, I remember having a guy tell me one time. This is a guy that I looked at as a spiritual mentor. Incredibly biblically knowledgeable. I mean, knew the Bible backwards. Probably still today more than anybody ever. I mean, this dude knew it backwards and forwards. And I just put a lot of stock into him. And I remember him telling me one time, this was whenever I was single, like, hey, Andy, if you marry the wrong person, like even Christian, even if they're a believer, like if you marry the wrong person, God's gonna brass over the heavens. He's gonna take your heart away for revival and he's gonna take away your ministry. I'm like, yay! Like, oh, you talking about a burden? Well, I mean, I love Jesus. I had a heart for revival, still got a heart for revival. And so when me and Leah start dating, I'm like, is she the one? Is she the one? Is she, bless God, is she the one? Because if not, the heavens will brass over and God will steal away my heart for revival because he told me so. And I walked in so much fear. And so today I can look at you because I really believe God allowed me. It was 3 years. I went through 3 years of it. And it wasn't just dating. It was just God setting me free from religion. There's a whole backstory to that. God was setting me free from religion. Why? So that I can stand before you today and give you the miss and know what I'm talking about. Because I walked through those things. And I'm fixing to give you some truths. I walked through it. I know what it feels like. And I realized that it smelled right, looked right, tasted right, but it was not right. It was not truth. It was not Jesus. And that's what religion does. And so I really believe that God allowed me to walk through that so I can look at you guys and help you understand the beauty and give you a new perspective on who God is in your life in the area of His will for you. I believe God allowed me to walk through that so that I can help you. And I'll be honest with you, it was probably one of the most horrific things in my mind during that time. I was probably in my late 20s that I had to go through. And what I realize now is that God was pulling out the talons, the demonic talons in my head of religion that I thought was truth, but it was not truth. It looked like truth, but it was not truth. It was the angel of light, and God set me free. Why? So that I could help stand here and help prayerfully set some of you free from who God is and what He is in your life and who He wants to be in your life. So when it comes to like, what am I supposed to do with my life? You know, I want to talk about for a second, like the idea about God's will for like spouses or maybe a job or a career. That, hey, if you don't marry the right one, you're messed up for life. Or if you don't hit the bullseye, you messed up for life. I want you to think about, can we just think about this? Let's just think about it logically. Let me debunk that for you some way, form, or fashion. Let's just play pretend like that Leah, I married the wrong girl, all right? Which I did not. Thank you, Jesus. I got two children by her and us, and it's fun. She's the right one, all right? But let's just play pretend like. So let's just say that I married the wrong girl. So what about the guy that was really supposed to marry Leah? Huh? He married the wrong girl too. And what about the girl that was supposed to marry the guy that was supposed to marry Leah? Who he married? Well, he married the wrong girl too. So basically what I've done by marrying the wrong person is I've thrown off the whole human race. Done jacked all y'all up. Hey, what about like the whole job thing? Like, bless God, if you don't step in the right calling, I'm in the right job, then God's not gonna bless you. So if I step in the wrong job, what about the person that takes my job? He's not in God's calling, he's taking the wrong job. And what about the guy who's supposed to take his job? Once again, messed up the whole human race in the job cycle. Like, y'all like, thank you, Andy. I've got the wrong job. It's your fault, Pastor. Do you understand what I'm saying? How silly it is? We fixed to get somewhere. Hang on. Listen, it's amazing the burdens that we place on ourselves with God when God wants to give us abundant life. God's not a burden. As a matter of fact, He wants to carry our burdens. But yet we take religion, a religious mindset, thought process, and we use God as a burden when really He wants to release the burden. Here's the truth about God's will. This is where I need you to tune in. I need you to hone in, all right? Here's the deal. God's not hiding His will from any of us. He's not playing games. He desires you to know His plan, His will, your big decisions that you got to make. He desires you to know His will more than you desire to know His will. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 says, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. I'll fix to tell you what the Lord wants you to do. I want you to listen. Here's God's will for your life. All right, you ready? I think concerning God's plan or God's will for our lives and the mist that we've bought into, we've been asking this whole entire time, we've been asking the wrong questions about the will of God. We've been asking the wrong questions about the will of God. Listen to me. This is where I need you to listen. Tune in. We are more concerned about the where and the what, but God is concerned about the who and the why. We're concerned about the where and the what, but God is concerned about the who and the why. We ask questions like, should I take a job at Regions or should I take a job at Wells Fargo? Which one you want, God? Whichever one pays the most. God's everywhere. Take the money. I'm just kidding. I shouldn't have said that. That just sounded right. Listen, I used to have a pastor friend. This is the honest truth. There's a pastor friend like, hey, if God's calling you somewhere, go to where the money is because God's everywhere. And so I was like, okay, I'm praying for you right now. Listen, we ask questions like, hey, should I go to Auburn or should I go to Alabama? So many jokes right there. I will just leave that alone because I want you coming back next week. All right? So just go to UAB. Listen, should I marry this person or should I marry that person? We're too focused on finding the right person when we should be focused on being the right person. So focused, all the singles in the house. So focused on finding the right person, we should be focused on being the right person, which is who and the why. Listen, if these are the myths about God's will, I want to tell you the truth about God's will. Listen to what it says in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. It says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Some translations say, for this is the will of God, your holiness. There's three types of holiness. We won't get into those right now, but the holiness, this word is that's right here, is the word for sanctification. It's a process that we walk in to become more like Jesus. What does the sanctification mean? For if you're here today and you've never been to church, you're like, man, what does that mean? Or maybe you've been in church your whole entire life and you're like, man, what does the word sanctification mean? Sanctification is the process of being made more like Jesus. That when we give our lives to Christ, we place our trust in the death, the burial, and the resurrection. The Bible says that God sends the Holy Spirit down into our lives. And he begins to teach us how to put off the old person and put on the new. To take the old self and put on the new nature that God's placed in us. And the Holy Spirit begins to be our teacher. 1 John chapter 3 or chapter 2. He begins to teach us how to follow him, how to walk with him, how to become more like him. That's what sanctification is. So for this is the will of God, your sanctification. Romans 8:29 says this. It says, for God knew his people in advance and he chose them to become like his son. He chose them to become like his son so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. So what does God desire for us? When he knew us in advance, he chose them to become like his son. Now, what God's desire for you, God is more concerned. Now, this might hurt some of your feelings. And I don't mean, listen, God's a personal God and he really does care about every little detail of your life. But what God is more concerned about more than anything else is he is more concerned about your relationship with him than your relationship with your future spouse and the job that you're going to take. Let me set you free for just a minute. Let me help you out just a little bit, okay? When you are who he desires you to be, you'll know what he wants you to know and be where he wants you to be. Here's what happens. When we focus on the who and the why, the where and the what begin to fall into place. When we focus on the who and the why, the where and the what, it's going to come. It's going to happen. God's desire is for us to focus on Jesus. What if there is a place that we're spending too much time and energy focusing on trying to figure out what he wants us to do in every situation. But what if what God wants us to use our energy for us to know him and to walk in his ways and to let him to lead us into his will? What if we spent that energy that we're freaking out about, God, what am I supposed to do? We just kind of honed in on, God, I want to know you. I'm going to focus in on you. Listen, we're so focused on where we're going and what we're going to be instead of who we are. And our who we are is our identity in Jesus. Putting on the nature of Christ, the characteristics of Christ, which honestly, when we seek him and pursue him, that is what produces abundant life in us. See, people in here are searching for answers. Well, the answer is Jesus. And whenever you let the Holy Spirit work in your life and you begin to follow after Christ, you begin to walk in abundant life. That's why we push so hard, like pursue Jesus. Now, I personally believe that there's not one way to pursue Jesus. I think that God has wired people different ways that you can pursue him. And I'm not saying pursue different Jesuses. I'm talking about pursue him in the way that he's wired you. I know I pursue God different than my wife pursues God. We're two totally different people. It's amazing how many people get bound up with that. That's another message. I'm chasing rabbits right now. Let me get back to the message, all right? Some of y'all are like, keep chasing that rabbit. I need to hear this. Listen, we'll come back to it another day. Listen. So let me do this. Let me show you a picture of what I'm talking about. Let me give you a better understanding of what I'm talking about in the area of the who and the why. All right, let me help set some of you free from what I believe God wants to help you with in the area of decision making and God's will. Let me show you this picture right here, all right? Y'all feel like y'all back in preschool? Y'all like this right here? Old MacDonald had a farm. And come on, y'all singing it with me. He had some Chick-fil-A cows on his farm. Listen, we're going to play pretend like that these are black and white sheep, right? Because I just feel like it would be better if these were sheep, because the Bible says that we're sheep and he's our shepherd and stuff like that. Here's what I need you to see. You see the fence right here. I kind of want you to picture like a rectangle fence or a square fence right here. Now, I need you to understand that this fence right here, it represents the word of God. It represents the revealed will of God. Do you know that God's revealed his will to us? God's revealed will of God is Genesis through Revelation. He tells us exactly what he wants for our lives right here in Genesis through Revelation. This is God's revealed will. That's why we push so hard. Hey, walk in truth. Understand truth. Know the word of God. Walk in the word of God, because it will help lead you and guide you in your walk with you, in your life. Now listen. So we know God's revealed will for our life is in the word of God. This is God's will for us. But it's nowhere in the Bible where it tells me who I'm supposed to marry. It's nowhere in the Bible where it tells me what job I'm supposed to take. As a matter of fact, it never talks about Wells Fargo or Regions in there. It don't tell me which college to go to. There's nothing in here that tells me, like, you know, in Andrew chapter 7, which that's my name. They call me Andy for short. Like Andrew chapter 7, Andy, you are supposed to marry Leah. Go now. Go forth. Go thou, Andy. I'm going King James Version on you. It doesn't say anything like that. And so there's a place where I have to take the revealed will of God, the principles of who God, you know, what God says to look for, and then I make a decision. Here's what I believe. This right here is the revealed will of God, the fence. Inside this fence, God is not looking at us. This is me. You see this guy? I'm chubby and everything. Listen, this is me. There's nowhere God is saying, hey, Andy, you see this clump of grass? I want you to eat from that clump of grass only. That's the only place you can eat inside this whole entire fence. There's nowhere in there. That's not who God is. What God says is, Andy, this is my revealed will. And inside this fence, inside the truth, inside the revealed will of God, you can eat anywhere you want to as long as you apply biblical principles to it. You can eat anywhere you want to. You're free to reign. Now, here's where you start getting in trouble. When you crawl over the fence, that's where you start finding all kinds of wolves going to eat you. You're going to get to the cliff and fall off a cliff. You know, and when I say this, I'm basically talking about sin, not as much big decisions. You know, there's a place where everybody thinks that, bless God, you get over that fence right there, God's going to break your legs and he's going to bring you back in. Like, dear Lord Jesus, like, who do you serve? You know what I think is beautiful? And there's people in this room right here today that are on the other side of this fence today. But we're the sheep, and we have a shepherd inside this fence that will leave the 99 to go after the one that will crawl over this fence and come chase after you to bring you back into the fold. Why? Because he's a loving God. He's a personal God. And every one of us, some way, form, or fashion, have been on this other side of the fence, probably even this morning, some way, form, or fashion. But God brings us back. It's the beauty of the gospel. It's the beauty of the cross. And here's what God's saying, inside this fence, you have the right to make choices and make decisions. Walk with me. Seek me. Make sure that you follow the principles. Listen, I would say that if you're single in the house, and you're looking for somebody to marry one day, I would step out and say, I would find another believer too. Now listen, I wouldn't just go ask people, because I worked in singles ministry long enough. I wouldn't just go ask people like, hey, are you a Christian? Because you're hot. And if you're a Christian, me and you can go out. Because everybody in Alabama saved, just ask them. You gotta get people lost before you get them saved in Alabama. Everybody's saved. What I would say is are they going after Jesus as hot as you're going after Jesus? Is he their first love? Because I would say that would be a biblical principle that I could follow. And so, there's a place where God says inside the fence, you don't eat from this one clump of grass. Actually, you have free reign. You live by biblical principles. Make decisions and quit walking in anxiety, stress, and bondage. Because if you're pursuing God and you're chasing the heart of God to make a right decision, I personally think you can't make a wrong decision if God is first. Even though there's a lot of you in here that might completely disagree with that. Well, Andy, you don't understand the sinful nature. Yeah, but I understand the cross too. 100%, and God's powerful. He's the one that guides your path. So if you're living inside this fence and you're in God's will, but you still need to make decisions sometimes. Say, yeah, Andy, I'm walking with God. I understand the revealed will, but man, I really do have a big decision that I really want it to be right. Hey, I'm with you. I'm in that place. I'll share my story here in just half a second. I understand where you're coming from. Yes, we still have big decisions to make. So what do I do? What do I do? Well, here's what I'd say. Number one, you need to listen to the Holy Spirit. God's given you the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer, He lives inside of you. You know, there's a jillion different things. There's a lot of names that the Bible gives the Holy Spirit. One of them is he guides us. The Holy Spirit guides us. He's a counselor, He's a comforter, but He also guides. He directs. And so I believe that God speaks to us. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. He directs us in the right place. Now, I can remember whenever I was, we were planting, you know, our church here in Coleman. I remember I was, you know, planting Desperation, didn't know where it was going to be. And I really didn't even know the name then. But I remember fasting and praying for 21 days. Went on a fast, prayed for 21 days, probably 9 or 10 years ago. I knew God was stirring something in my spirit different. And so at the end of the fast, I knew that I was supposed to plant a church. I just didn't know where, and I was begging God, like, God, please don't send me to Boston because they'll make fun of my accent because I sound like a redneck. Y'all make fun of my accent. I live in Coleman. Listen, so there's an explosion in my spirit at the end of the fast where basically God said, I want you to plant in Coleman, Alabama. Now that we're here, I understand why. God wants us to plant in these little Dollar General towns all over the place because He wants us to help set people free from religion. I know that. There's a bigger story behind that. And so there was an explosion in my spirit. And I knew that was the Holy Spirit saying, go. Now listen, I'll be honest with you. There was still a place where, you know, I'm just being honest. I just read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 to you. It said, do not walk in fear. But there was still a place where I'll be honest. My flesh, I got a hold of it. I was a little scared. I'm leaving a paycheck. I'm selling my house. I'm getting rid of insurance, and I'm going out on a limb, and I'm trusting God that you're going to take care of me and my family. It'd be a little easier if it's just me. I had two babies and a wife. But I knew that if I did not do this, that I would have missed God. And I would have been asking myself the rest of my life, what if? And so we came and planted. Thank you, Jesus. We're here, and I get to see all y'all's beautiful faces, and y'all get to look at my ugly face, and I get to be a part of a phenomenal, incredible church because you guys make it phenomenal. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've heard people talk about, well, when it comes to the will of God, bless God, you better have a peace. Well, I understand that God's not the author of confusion. He's the author of peace. I've always wondered exactly, what is that supposed to feel like? What does that look like? You mean, I know a lot of people talk about it's almost like this yoga thing, like, oh, I'm just in this place of peace, you know, like, I never really had like that kind of peace, but I knew inside my gut, in my spirit, not my gut, my spirit, that I needed to do it. Even though there were still a lot of places inside of me, it was like, oh, are you sure? But I was like, okay, if there's not, I know that God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but if there's not some kind of, how do I say this? If there's not some kind of fear, some way, form, or fashion, then how do we step out by faith? If there's not some kind of questions, you step out by faith. There's a lot of times many of us don't take enough risk. And when you take risk, it's amazing how God comes through. And a lot of times your big decisions are risk. And a lot of times God's just saying, trust me. Hey, take that step out. Come on, baby. Take that step out. Let's go. I got you. That's all He wants you to do. Listen, so we know the Holy Spirit moves. So listen, that's why it's important that you spend time with God, you know, in prayer. Talk to Him. Maybe it's in your car. Maybe you got your own little quiet place Maybe you do it during lunch at work. I don't know. Just have conversation with God. Learn how the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And then I would say, if you're making big decisions, find godly counsel. The Bible's very plain about that. Wisdom and faith is a difficult thing. The Bible talks about both of them. To walk wise, be wise, find wise counsel, but also step out by faith. And so I would say, if you're here today and you got a big decision to make, you need to, brothers. That's why it's so important to be a part of a church, not just watch it online, to have an assembly of people around you that you can identify, godly people that you can have in your life, so that when it does come to big decisions, you can just ask for guidance and help and prayer and, hey, what do you think about this? What do you, help me understand this. Or maybe somebody's already gone through what you're going through and they can help guide you. So important that you're part of an assembly of brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe ask a small group leader. We got a prayer team that comes up here after the service and stuff. Come and tell them, like, man, I just need some guidance. I need some decision. And maybe they can help you. They definitely can pray for you. Ask them. Whatever we can do to help, whatever we can do to help, whatever you can find. Find somebody that can help you. Have godly people in your life that have the freedom to speak truth to you to help you process decisions that we face. So I guess the question that I would have for you is, who's your godly counsel? If you don't have any godly counsel, then I guess my next question is then why not? Are you involved in church? Because I know there's a lot more wise people in this church than me. I promise you that. I would say that there's a great possibility you're not plugged in somewhere. Get plugged in. Move. Get around some godly counsel. It's going to help you make decisions, because we're all going to come to these places. You know, there's a place right now, I'm sure most of you know this. We have been in the process of, we bought land a couple years ago and got it paid off, and been getting all kinds of tests and studies and paying for architects and spending all kinds of money getting our building ready to go. So we go to the zoning committee a couple weeks ago, and you know, that was one hurdle. They had to give us the thumbs up. So they gave us the thumbs up, like, y'all can build it. Y'all can build a building. Y'all can do it. So we got one hurdle taken care of. And so now we as a staff and we as trustees are now trying to make the decision, when do we start knocking down trees and when do we start putting a building up? And I'll be honest with you, there's a place where it is, it is stressful. Because you want to make sure that you have the money in the bank, but you also want to make sure that you do it at the right time. And so we're fasting, we're praying. I've called tons of pastors, like, hey, give me some wisdom on building buildings, because, listen, it's not easy. And basically, we're in the process, and y'all can pray about this, we're in the process of making the decision when to pull the trigger, because our next hurdle is finances. It's just making sure that we have the finances where they're supposed to be. There's a gap from where we are to where we want to be. There's a gap. And so we're trying to ask God, do we walk by faith here and just go ahead and start building and the finances are going to be there? Or do we wait a long time for that to happen? That's just me be shooting straight. When do you want this to happen? And so we're asking God right now. That's something you can pray for us about, because I'll be honest with you, I wanted to build it like 2 years ago. Thank God we didn't. It'd be halfway built right now. So we're making, and here's the deal. Can I be honest with you? We can already go ahead and have that building going right now if we just stop ministry completely. But our church, that's what our DNA has been from the very, very beginning, has always been ministry, 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 always getting outside these four walls, getting outside the four walls, always serving other people, helping people, doing things. And so we could cut all that out if y'all want to. And so we have a big, nice building, but I'm not doing that. I'm ready to have a place called home, but I'll be honest with you. What I'm preaching today, I'm living. We're in the process of trusting God, making decisions on what we need to do and how we need to get there. And so prayerfully, you'll be hearing more coming up in the near future. And you know, by the way, if you're here and you want to find out more about where we're at, I can't give you all the details because I ain't got time. We got this thing called Heart for the House, and we got some meetings coming up really, really soon. And look, they put it up here for me. Look, you can, by the way, we just came up with this last minute. I didn't show this last service, so y'all bless. Y'all got a little extra. You can go to desperationchurch.tv, Heart for the House, and you can honestly sign up for our next meeting and find out a whole lot more details about building the campuses and all that kind of stuff. We'd love for you to come. And then find out more about missions. How about we've already started giving money already to Walker County and Coleman County in the area of feeding kids. We've already had 759 extra meals for people that you guys have paid for because of missions and stuff, which I think is absolutely phenomenal. Come on, come on. So there's so much more, all right? So much more that we've got. And you're going to hear a lot more about Heart for the House stuff coming up. So anyway, that was just maybe a commercial break, but it's also to let you know that I'm in that same place with you, trying to make a decision about, God, what's your will? I need wisdom and we need faith. And I think all of us walk through that kind of stuff. Everybody in here. You know, then the third thing is life circumstances. Life circumstances. You know, maybe the money's great at your job, but you're missing your family way too much. You're missing your kid's mom, your wife, way too much that you need to be spending more time. Maybe there's something you need to be thinking through on that. Praise God that there's a job for you, but hey, is it the right job? The life circumstances will tell you a lot about what's going on. For instance, sometimes you just got to use common sense when it comes to decisions. If you're here today and you are an alcoholic and you have just gone through rehab and you've got set free, common sense would say, I don't need to be a bartender down at the next bar down the street. I mean, that's just common sense. Now, I know that might be a little over the top for some of you, but the big picture is you need to use common sense sometimes when it comes to big decisions. Understand and realize the money may be great, but it's going to take you away from your family. What's most important? Big decisions. This is more than anything. The will of God for your life is that you have a relationship with Him, with Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promises. Some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God's desire more than anything else is that you have a relationship with Him. And if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Him and you want Him to be the one that guides your life, you need to do that today. Be the best decision you ever made in your life, I promise you. Abundant life. He's abundant life. Let me give you a side note that I think a lot of people struggle with. This is kind of a side thing that I wrote down just a little while ago. It's amazing how many people think that they're out of God's will if what you have in front of you is too good to be true. It's amazing how people got God as this God that doesn't want to bless you with His best. Like, man, and it is everything I've ever dreamed of, man. The decision is, man, it's the greatest thing ever. So there's no way it could really be God. Like, what? Like, God wants to give you crumbs? He wants to take you to where you can flourish the most so that you can glorify His name. And if that's what it is that allows you to glorify His name, then walk in it. Accept it. I'll be honest with you, that's where I was at. Anytime something good happened in my life, I was thinking, like, man, there's no way that's God. God set me free from a lot of that. And I think He wants to set a lot of you free from that too. So walk in who God's called you to be. Let me sum this entire message up for you, all right? The will of God for your life is for you to know Jesus, the who and the why, to know His ways. And when we live in His ways, we're in the center of His will. The what and the where will come into play. When we walk in the who and the why, the what and the where will take place. Trust me. Walk in it. Be who God's called you to be. Chase after your identity in Christ and watch what God does in your life, okay? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We honor you.